previously on But You're Wrong.
I'd love to hang out with Jack Nicholson. It would probably be the most insane night I've ever had. You start to trust each other because, like, something crazy happens that night after the Oscars and, like, somebody almost dies or something like that, and you save him, and Jack's like, come here, I want to show you something. And he, like, takes you into some, like, back room, and he has, like, Bela Lugosi's body, like, in a last bridge or something. And he's like, look at that. Wait, they got that. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
He's like, you're in my inner circle now.
We're friends forever.
Welcome to another exciting episode of But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodela.
You like my Robin Leach faux voice?
It wasn't very Robin Leachy.
You don't think so?
No, because you didn't really have like the... There was no real accent on it. You were just talking at a high register.
I think I said things like he would, but still in an American accent, not in the British accent. So it was like if Robin Leach had been born in America, he might have said it like that.
But I don't think he would say that stuff if he was born in America. Like, yeah, I don't think he would have gotten the gig if he was born in America, is what I'm saying.
Why do you always have to be difficult? Christ almighty. Anyways.
No. Okay, fine. You're right. I'm wrong.
Yep. Thank you, honey.
Fucking asshole.
So how are we doing, Keith?
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't complain.
Good.
I've been very productive this week.
You have, actually. We've got some good stuff going up in the BYW world. Do you want to mention a couple of things that people check out?
We probably should.
Yeah.
There's the... personally, I know I'm biased, but one of my new favorite things that I created was the Benny Hill Bond on our YouTube BYW podcast.
Yep. Yeah, I watched it. It's excellent. Roger Moore movies are just ridiculous. It's perfect, really.
I think he was a great Bond in bad movies.
Yeah, I like Roger Moore. I there's a lot of Roger Moore hate out there, and I don't necessarily get it. I mean, he's goofy as fuck. Like, there's no doubt about it. But that doesn't make him bad.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is a lot of parts in the movies are ridiculous.
It's true. Also, I don't think it helped that towards the end of his Bond career, he was getting kind of old.
Yeah.
And he, like, walks in, he's, like, hitting on, like, 20-year-old girls, and I'm like, ugh, you're, like, 60.
Yeah.
It was a little much. But yeah, I guess Connery did the same thing, but it didn't seem quite as weird with Connery.
Yeah, Connery didn't actually look that old.
That's because his hair wasn't real.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, Moore, you can definitely see, like, a lot more of, like, the wrinkles in his face. And, like, his face starts to do that old man kind of, like, it gets a little extra slack in it.
Mm. Yeah, it kind of looks like he's wearing a snakeskin for a face.
Yeah, you just there's a little extra room, and his skin just kind of starts to hang a little weird.
Yeah.
Plus, they weren't dressing him that well. They were dressing him like my dad.
You mean like he was a product of the 70s?
Well, no. I mean, like, they were like in the 80s, they were dressing him like he was stuck in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it just made him really look like an old man.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem is because he was Bond in the 70s, and you start moving to the early 80s, and it's like, well, he's old, and he's been Bond. We can't drastically change how he looks to fit the times, so he's gonna be kind of stuck in his old ways, like, whether or not he even wants to be. Like, you're not going to take this older guy and all of a sudden try and dress him like a hip young Bond, you know?
Yeah, but it was still like they were putting him, like, they were just putting him in tan slacks all the time.
He's just dressed like Jimmy Buffett. Actually, he did a lot.
Yeah. He was just wearing the tan slacks and, like, the same kind of, like this weird olive green nondescript coat.
Yep, yep.
You know?
He did have a lot of those. It's like kind of army coat, but, like, fashionable.
It's the kind, like just, you know what it is? It's like a windbreaker, but, like, a more upscale, so, like... Even on a spring day when your dad's like, I'm a little chilly, and he would put that coat on.
Yeah. Definitely. Roger Moore is a dad. Like, he's clearly just a dad. Like, I can picture him being like, hey, you know, you walk in the house, he's sitting there, he's still got the windbreaker on, and he's like, hey, you still got your shoes on? You want to take out the trash?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you. Just because I got my shoes on doesn't mean I'm going to take out the trash.
Well, and the other problem is they didn't even try to put him with, like...
Women his age?
Women closer to his age, yeah. They were all, like, in their 20s. And then he would do stuff like make them dinner, and you're just like, it's such a... I'm going to help this little girl out and make her dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. and show her where she went wrong.
Yeah, he's like, oh, here you go, honey. Here's your Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, now tell me about
you want to hop in a bed?
Tell me about your day. Were the kids mean to you at school? Who'd you sit with at lunch?
Hey, honey.
He was
good. I know you're like 40 years younger than me, but you want to get fingered?
He was good for the first, like, four he was in. And then by the time it was For Your Eyes Only, you were like, he's getting a little old. And then...
At least that was still a good movie, though.
Well,
it's better than a lot of them.
I'm a little iffy on For Your Eyes Only.
Really? Okay.
Octopussy, I like up until the end. It falls apart at the end for me.
Yeah. Octopussy is definitely top two of my favorite Moore movies. Trying to think.
Spy Who Loved Me?
Yeah, okay, yes. Spy Who Loved Me is my favorite Moore. And Octopussy is probably my number two. And then For Your Eyes Only is probably number three.
Okay. I think, even though it is kind of ridiculous, I think I would go The Spy Who Loved Me, Live and Let Die, and then Octopussy.
Okay.
I really don't like Octopussy because of the end.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to say the alligator submarine, because that's the best part of the movie.
No. Well, there's two things that bother me. The fact that when he's on the island and the women are wearing those red jumpsuits, I can't help but think of The Greatest American Hero.
Okay. I see where you're going.
And then at the end, once they go to the circus and he's in the clown costume.
In the clown outfit, yeah.
Which is part of the Benny Hill Bond video.
It's great.
And I trimmed it a little bit. I trimmed certain parts, especially the fire truck scene from A View to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was really long, so I trimmed it down. Some of the stuff, actually, I didn't even speed up the end of Octopussy at the circus, where he's in the clown suit. Because that just fit too perfectly. I didn't even have to speed that up. But yeah, once it does that, I'm just like, oh, come on.
It is dumb. There is a lot of dumb shit,
but it's like the end of Blazing Saddles. Like I love Blazing Saddles up until the part where they break the fourth wall.
I mean, what's that like? Probably 80% of the way. No, maybe more like 90% of the way through.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's the last 10 or 15 minutes of the movie,
right?
Because it almost seems like they were like, well, we don't really have an end, so fuck it. And they just did that. I mean, I'm sure that's the way they intended to do it.
Yeah, but even so, it's, it can still feel cheap. You know, like, you could have, even if, like, that's the first way you wrote it, it could still feel like you could have found a better way to do this. You know?
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about Bond for a while, and I imagine that'll continue while this Bond thing is going on.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay.
I had my first taste of it last night.
Yeah, you popped your bondage cherry.
Yeah, was I okay? Did I do good?
You did good. You did good. Yeah.
I hope so. I didn't want to go too crazy, but I also didn't want to lay too back, you know.
Yeah, now let me ask you this. Did you get any favorites?
Oh yeah, yeah, a couple. Yeah. I got a few favorites, a few retweets.
Because you may you may make the live tweet digest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think most of the way that he does it is, well, at least the guy running it, he'll favorite it and then he uses that to like narrow down what's there, and then puts it in a live tweet digest.
And okay.
That link is somewhere on our Facebook page, but it's 007hertzrumble.tumblr.com.
Okay, cool. Definitely got a few from him too. The main guy there.
It's been growing because when I first started, it was me and like three other people.
Yeah.
And then it's steadily has grown. And last night, I want to say there were like, what, 10 people doing it at least?
I would say so, yeah, because I got a few like follows and stuff from people that I actually didn't even see really doing it. And it was like just people following it, I thought. Or maybe they were doing a couple here and there, but it was good.
Yeah, it starts to get a little hard to keep track of. So you just kind of chime in when you can.
Right.
But it's just a lot of fun because people just will kind of chime in. And like we talked about before, stuff starts to just kind of build as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was nice because you kind of, you know, you even kind of harken back to stuff that people were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's weird how you can almost have like a dialogue on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
I have to do it on my laptop to keep track of it because I use TweetDeck, and then I have a column dedicated to the hashtag.
Uh huh.
That's how I keep track of it. But
okay, yeah. See, I was doing it all on my phone, so
yeah, I tried that. I found it very difficult.
It wasn't easy.
Anyway, I believe the live tweet digest goes up like Monday. So you can see what tweets made it of yours.
Nice.
That's what I always do. I always go, what tweets of mine are in there? And then I do that first, and then I go back and look and see what I missed.
Okay, cool. You got to definitely let me know when it goes up.
Yeah.
And I will check it out.
I'll put it up on, I'll try to remember to put it up on Facebook, too.
Yeah, put on the book or the tweet. Whatever's good for you.
Yeah. And there's a couple on his Tumblr page too. There's a couple of the Bond intros that I went through and remixed because it started with Thunderball because Johnny Cash did the original opening to Thunderball.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, you know what? It's good, but it really doesn't fit the music.
Yeah.
Or the movie. So we are going to go with Tom Jones. I think it was Tom Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
So then I put the Thunderball song to the opening sequence. And that's up there. And I put the Guns N' Roses cover of Live and Let Die up there. And there's the Man with the Golden Gun with Alice Cooper. Because he did a version. And there's another version of For Your Eyes Only. Supposedly, it was supposed to be done by Blondie originally.
Mm.
And they did a version of it instead of Sheena Easton.
Oh, Sheena Easton of My Baby Takes the Morning Train fame.
Yeah, she did For Your Eyes Only, and then instead of Blondie. And I was going to remix it, but they have Sheena Easton like in the opening sequence, so it's kind of stupid.
It's tough.
Yeah, I might see what I can do with it, because sometimes it requires remixing the actual song, and it just takes too long. Right. And it really, I just want to make another Benny Hill Bond video.
Yeah, it occurs to me what might be a good way to do a Benny Hill Bond thing would be just Benny Hill Diamonds Are Forever.
Yes.
Because I feel there's plenty of scenes that would lend itself to that.
I was thinking that I might do one for each of the Bonds. And if I do one for Connery, it's probably going to be almost entirely made up of Diamonds Are Forever.
I mean, just the fucking chase through the desert alone with him in the fucking Lunamobile.
On the rover?
The Lunar Rover. I mean, come on, that's perfect.
Yeah. I'll probably go back and throw in part of You Only Live Twice, where you get Asian Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah, Asian Sean Connery.
Yeah, and the ninjas that yell.
Yeah, the ninjas that fight to the death.
Plus they go, these are my ninjas, and then they're like, yeah! They just yell.
Yeah.
And then they're like, the ninjas are attacking, and then it's just ninjas going, yeah! And you're like, these ninjas suck balls. I thought ninjas were supposed to be quiet.
Stealthy ninjas. These are not them.
Yeah. It's almost exactly like the I'm assuming they were like the Taliban or freedom fighters or whatever that was in Living Daylights.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're under the blankets disguised as rocks, and then they come up and yell. The same thing happens in You Only Live Twice. Like, they're hiding as rocks, and then all of a sudden they appear, and they're like, yeah! So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, we should just talk about movies today in honor of Roger Ebert. I mean, we usually just talk about movies anyway.
It is the primary focus, or it is, yeah, it probably takes up like a third, at least, of our topics. But, so Roger Ebert died today, age 70, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't see the exact reason he died. Was it complications of the cancer that he had?
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, because he had the cancer and it was in his jaw.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people never even realize this, I think, because he kept writing, of course. But he basically had to have like the lower half of his jaw removed, a huge portion of it is gone or was gone.
Yeah, he had to get his jaw completely removed.
And I didn't even realize it, I don't know. I mean, how long ago did that happen? Maybe a year and a half ago? And
no, it was longer than that.
Was it longer than that? Maybe a little over 2 years?
No,
you know what? You're right.
He lost his jaw, I want to say, in like 2006.
Holy shit. Okay. Wow. That long. I guess. I mean, you know what? I guess I've known it longer than I was even saying. And I know that I guess I didn't realize it for some time after it had happened too. So yeah, I mean, I guess I've honestly known about that for a few years. I just wasn't putting my numbers together. But yeah, a lot of people still didn't even know that, because I was talking to some people today. I'm like, oh, what did he die of? And I was like, oh, well, he had cancer. You know, he had his jaw removed. And I'm like, really? What are you talking about? I was like, yeah, no. I mean, he pretty much hasn't been able to talk or anything for quite a while.
Yeah.
And but obviously, you know, he could still write and everything, which is great. And, you know, I think that's what really kept him still in the people's eye. You know, so to speak, because they could still get his reviews. It was still, you know, you'd still see up on the commercials, Roger Ebert, you know, thumbs up. Roger Ebert gives us 4 stars, and, you know, kind of people went about their business and never thought about it. But, you know, he was really suffering. And then today, you know, passed away. And that's a big blow for the movie, you know, the movie critic crowd or the movie just follower crowd.
Yeah, because he was one of those critics that wasn't, he was never mean. Like, he was never mean in his review.
No, and I think a lot of people thought of him as kind of like a grandpa, almost, where he would be critical, but always in kind of a constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people appreciated that about him, that he wasn't, he was never overly negative. He was more just, you know, this is what's wrong with it, and they could have done this to fix their movie, you know?
Yeah, and I feel
this is what you should do next time.
Yeah, I feel like he would always try to find, like, one good thing about it.
He
always tried to find an upside, even if it was a piece of shit.
Right. I can't remember almost any review of his where he didn't say, you know, oh, this, the story was terrible, you know, blah, 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 save for so-and-so's acting, you know. Or, you know, there was a glimpse of, you know, there's a bright spot here or something. And, like, he'd throw it in and maybe he wouldn't even expound on it that much.
Yeah.
But I felt like even through the shittiest of films that, I mean, I can only imagine the absolute crap that he had to watch because it was his job. You know, he did find at least a slight positive in even the worst movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think he really just enjoyed the medium of film. So he was always looking at, trying to look at the positive of it and see what they were going for. And I don't know what to say. He was a great writer, just in general. And then he applied that very well to film and his love of film and try to keep things very positive.
I agree. And you know, there was definitely a time when I thought he was kind of old and out of touch. And I think the point when I realized that he wasn't, or that I respected him more, was when Fight Club first came out, he gave it a bad review. And I don't know how long it was after the fact, but he went back and maybe it was a year, 2 years or something. It was a little while after. And I think it was probably because people were like, hey, you need to watch this movie again. He went back and watched it again and rewrote his review.
Mm-hmm.
And retracted his original review and said, I was wrong when I first saw this movie. And I don't think I got it. And this is actually an incredible film. And it touches on a lot of things that I don't think I realized at first that it does. And totally changed his stance on the movie. And for me, the admission that he was wrong about the movie and that, you know, he corrected it, I thought was awesome. I thought it took a lot of guts for him to do that and made my feeling of him go from less, you know, cranky old pompous man to more of a, I don't know, more of someone caring about his craft and caring, you know, what it was that he wrote, because what Roger Ebert writes has a lasting impression on people when they read it.
Yeah, you know, he said he's the one with the lasting impression. Yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to think if there's really anyone left now that has the same level of a lasting impression.
To me, there isn't. But, you know, I know there obviously there's going to be people out there that have a writer or a movie reviewer that they trust, but I mean, when I see these fucking movies go up on the screen, it's like, oh, Peter Travers of Rolling Stone says this, I'm like, fuck that, I don't give a shit what the fuck Peter Travers has to say. You know, that does nothing for me. If I see Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4 stars, I say, huh, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah. You're thinking, I should check this out.
I take his word with value. Now, am I going to agree with him all the time? Of course not. You know, maybe I'll go see it and I won't really like it. But the fact that he gives it, you know, 4 out of 4 stars, say, I'm going to say, you know what, there's some value to this film.
I think the other thing is he also realized that film is very subjective. So really, I mean, it really kind of depends on your point of view. So while he kind of right. admits that while he, you know, might give something 4 out of 4 stars, in the end he's like, well, you know, maybe it's not for everybody.
Right, right. And I think that he did take that into account quite a bit.
Yeah.
I felt like he tried to expound upon the idea that, you know, you might find something in this that other people did not. But he's not going to love everything that you love, and you're not going to love everything that he loves. But I don't know. I always took his opinion with a, you know, more. I always thought he had more cachet than almost any other film critic I knew.
He knew what he was talking about, and he made it seem okay to like bad movies too. Like even if it wasn't like a great movie, but there was something about it that you liked. Because he always kind of seemed to find that redeeming quality, you were kind of like, all right, you know what? It's okay that I like this movie. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
The liking a movie despite knowing it's bad, you know?
Yeah.
Liking a movie for almost, you know, liking a movie in spite of its faults. You know, it wasn't obviously, you know, something like a movie like Escape from New York, right? I mean, you get down to it, Escape from New York is kind of dumb. And it's goofy.
Yeah.
Do I still like it, though? Yeah, I like it. You know, it's retarded, but I enjoy it because it's different. You know, and different is good when it comes to film.
I was going to say, just like any of the Bond movies. Really?
Oh, at least, yeah, at least a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of them are very campy.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are pretty bad. Right, yeah, campy is probably the better word.
And that doesn't make a movie bad necessarily, as long as it knows what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if the makers of the movie, the actors, and the viewer, most importantly, know what it is, it's okay. You know, some people go out and they make movies that are dumb for a living. You know, how many fucking movies have you watched because you know it's going to be shitty? I mean, we talked about it not that long ago with me going to see fucking Glitter. You know?
That's true. And,
I mean,
and my very
sometime...
Yeah, my very in-depth analysis of Iron Sky.
Right, exactly. Like, sometimes you watch a movie because you know it's going to be a piece of garbage.
Like The Man with the Golden Gun. It's not that good, but...
I kind of
enjoy it. I mean, that's mostly because of Mary Goodnight, but...
Oh, yeah, it is Mary Goodnight.
In that one, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that movie's stupid. It's not good. It's so... It's out there, and it's dumb. But you know what? I enjoy it. And maybe because it's a Bond movie, I enjoy it. I don't know. But there's a certain level of charm about it that makes it watchable. And as long as you got that... I mean, what, you know, whatever. As long as the people know what they're getting themselves into, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's still fun.
It does have one of the most complicated stunts in film history.
Are you talking about the car going over the river?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me a little. I figured that was it because that seems like the most difficult stunt in the movie, but I don't really know how they did it.
I believe it was the first stunt that was, like, calculated out on a computer.
Oh, okay.
Like, they actually went into a computer and created a simulation to get it right. Because they wanted, it to do a 360-degree spin. And they were, like, trying to figure it out. But because it was kind of pretty fucking, you know, dangerous, they were like, we should probably work it out first. So they had,
yeah, what year was that? Was that,
74?
It was very late 70s, right?
74.
Oh. I was a little off. I was thinking it was like 78, but, okay. Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, it was 74. I think that scene might have been shot in 73 though, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a big stunt for at the time. I mean, you think about it now, they would just do that shit on computers.
And they'd be like, they wouldn't even actually.
We'll just do it on the computer. I don't know why.
Lucasify it. Yeah, I don't know why either.
hey, yo, you know, I liked being here so much for the last episode. I figured I'd come back. Talk about Bond. Hey, you know, I was almost Bond.
Can you even imagine? Can you fucking imagine Sylvester Stallone as James Bond?
Can you imagine if he wrote the script himself?
Oh, it'd be great. Just the interactions between him and the Bond girls.
Yeah. Hey, yo.
Hey, you wanna go out sometime?
Hey, yo, we gonna do this or what? It'd be so terrible because Bond always has a. Bond has this terrible, especially Roger Moore, has this terrible knack of sneaking up on women in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
And he just kind of appears, and for some reason the women are always okay with it. But in Stallone's case, instead of like a dashing man, he would just pull back the curtain and they would just see his broken face. Just staring at him.
They'd just be like, oh my god, are you here to rape me?
Yeah. They would say it exactly like that.
That's exactly what they would say. Oh, it would not be good.
I'm British Secret Service.
Can I get my Sambuca shaken, not stirred?
He's just ordering Coors Lights. Hey, can I get a Coors Light shaken, not stirred? And they're like, are you sure, sir?
Yeah, that's what it said, right?
I want it shaken. It just explodes all over his face.
Was the chicken pom?
Oh, God. I mean, it would be so bad.
He always shows up everywhere wearing a tuxedo, but the bow tie's never tied, and he's always like,
hey, yeah, I couldn't figure this part out. Could you help me with that?
Look, I was going to say he shows up in a tuxedo, but the sleeves are ripped off. It's just no sleeves on anything.
No, that would be Joey Lawrence, James Bond.
Oh, okay. He got to have a bandana or something, though.
For which one?
He just always got a bandana on. No,
For Stallone?
Sylvester Stallone. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I thought it looked good, you know. I don't know. The fuck you want from me?
Can you imagine him interacting with Q?
Oh, he trying to figure seven. Out. He would accidentally end up killing Q in like literally the first interaction.
Oh,
Where's the arrows with the exploding tips?
Or he would just be real macho and like, he was just like, yo, what's up, Q? All right, this is what I got? All right. Thanks, buddy. Good seeing you again. And he would just like slap his back and knock him down.
Yeah. He just break the old man's back.
The next scene, Q's in a cast.
Here's your Walter PPK 007.
Oh, I brought this fucking giant ass knife that's the size of a man's leg.
Can I use this?
Why just cut dudes up?
If he wrote it, though, he would keep trying to put lines from his movies into other movies, and every Bond girl would be like Adrian. They'd be like, are you the doctor? And she'd be like, yes, I'm Dr. Adrian Goodhead. Goodhead. It's funny.
Hey, Adrian, will you give Goodhead?
It's just all the shit that Bond doesn't say because he's too cool. he just says it.
Why do they call you pussy galore, Adrian?
you got big lips or something?
Yeah, you just want to fuck.
And the bad guys keep capturing him and like locking him up, and he's like, "Why you keep pushing me?" I didn't start this, they did.
I'd love to see the Bond training montage.
He just randomly goes into CQ. And Q's like, "What do you need, 00? And he's like, "Cut me. Just cut me. What? Why? Just do it, alright?" He's like, "Mr. 00, you are fine. You don't need anything. Cut me."
Oh, it'd be so good. What a retarded
concept.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. See, I would just like when he, I'm assuming that M would just be played by Carl Weathers.
Yeah. Like,
hey, Apollo, what are you sending me now?
No, he would, but Carl Weathers would be, they would have him as like Felix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. But he'd still call him Apollo because he doesn't know the difference.
Hey, Apollo, what's going on?
Hey, Apollo, what's up?
Who's M then, Pauly?
Yes.
I got a new gadget. It's this fucking robot I got from my son.
Yeah, the latest thing from Q Sector, Q Branch. It's a robot that says happy birthday. It carries a cake. It can't put it down though.
Yeah, no, I know. I just like, yeah, I love it. It does everything. It, then it can't put the fucking cake down on the table. He has to take it from it.
I wish I had one of these.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
No, you don't. You don't.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, if they had done it in a Bond movie, they would have been able to fake him putting the cake down.
You would assume, yeah.
Wait, when was that movie made? 85? Oh, they definitely could have faked it in 85.
Yeah, it was, 85.
It was just laziness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what you're dealing with.
Well, that's a good point. Oh, man, I wish I was there for that meeting. Where they were like, listen, it's going to be Paulie's birthday. What should we do for Polly's birthday in the script?
Yeah, but how about a robot?
Really?
yeah, I saw this thing. I saw this movie called Terminator.
No, I don't think Terminator wasn't out, was it? No.
Yeah, no, the first one came out in 83, right?
I don't know. Let's find out.
I think so.
84.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah, so it could have literally been a last-minute decision.
It was like, hey, guys, instead of just saying happy birthday to Paulie and myself, let's get a robot to do it.
And my asshole kid, he's going to spray the whole cake
Whipped cream. I couldn't think of the word for whipped cream.
You want to spray the whole cake with whipped cream and put the candles out.
Even really think it was a meeting, or do you think it was one stubborn, retarded Italian guy sitting there trying to write a script?
Are there any steroids in this movie?
I guarantee there was a meeting about it after he wrote it. And they were like, should we?
Oh, yeah.
Should we let him do this? I mean, I guess so.
Well, I mean, the problem is that at that point, this was the fourth one in a very successful franchise.
That's true.
I mean, what are you going to do? Tell him no? You know, and this one was successful too. So it's like, what are you gonna do? And then, of course, everything went downhill after that.
They probably just let him write the script, and then when he was done, he handed it to him, forgot everything that he wrote, and then they just went back in and changed stuff.
they rewrote it, and then they handed it back, and like, all right, here we go.
They're like, hey, Jim, did you see the latest Rocky IV script? Is that the one where Stallone keeps referring to himself as James Bond? Yeah, that one. Finch 3 writes on that? Yeah, every James Bond is now Rocky.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Just hand it back to him and he won't notice the difference.
Yeah. They just walk up to him and they're like, hey, Stallone, we got a script for you. Oh, cool, who wrote it?
Oh, great, is my name Rocky in it?
Man, hey, whatever happened with that James Bond movie I wrote? They're still working on that. The British are very stubborn people.
Yeah, the broccolis don't want you as James Bond, so we're still working.
he's going, hey, let me...
Fucking broccolis.
let me talk to him. And then later on, he's sitting in his kitchen talking to a bowl of broccoli.
I think I'd be a pretty good Bond, you know.
are you guys gonna say nothing or something? What's going on?
I never had an interview like this where it was so one-sided, you know. I feel like I'm doing most of the talking here,
which is very difficult for someone like me.
I mean, you know, I welcome your input.
Oh, God.
Is this meeting over?
I think it would have been great.
Oh, man. You know, I do a lot of my own stunts. I take a lot of punches.
I bet you wonder why I'm so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys need me to bulk up or something, I'd be willing to take steroids. I'll start right now.
Don't bother me.
In fact, I already started.
I was preparing for the role. I thought it was a can't miss. But you broccolis are tough. I didn't want to say this before I came in. I don't even really like broccoli. No offense.
Yeah, I mean, the top part's all right, but it's the stem on you guys that I don't like so much.
Yeah, it's a little too plain for my liking.
Yeah, I mean, I never got into it. I apologize, guys.
Oh. He's the best. Yeah. And the worst.
That's two episodes in a row that Sylvester Stallone cannot listen to.
God, I didn't even realize how many. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole last one was full of Stallone references and impersonations.
Yeah, just all over the place. Yeah.
Well,
what are you gonna do?
It's all right.
He's probably not listening anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's probably not. I would love it if he did. That being said, Sylvester, we're actually very big fans.
Oh, yeah.
We might be making fun of you, but I honestly love your fucking movies. Because yeah. I am also a dumb Italian.
That is very true.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this car outside? Can you hear this?
No, I got a helicopter over me.
Oh. I had a car out there with
the
shittiest fucking muffler in the fucking world.
I'm imagining this helicopter is doing some sort of traffic thing, but I don't...
Has it been following you all day?
Go away. Yeah, it's black, and yeah, I don't like it. Then I was stirring the sauce all day. I was having my brother do it.
Frying up some chicken cutlets just for an appetizer?
Mm-mm. Yep.
Nice.
What were you going to say?
Nice. I was going to say thank you for being the only person that really got why I put that on my Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I took a picture of a helicopter and put it up on Facebook. And I was like, man, this helicopter's been following me all day. And people were like, you should wait till it lands and then follow that guy. No, it was for Goodfellas. And you liked it. I don't know if you made a comment, but you liked it. And I was like, finally. I know Greg liked it for the right reason.
You knew I got the reference.
Yeah. But like every time it was after a week, every time I went to the grocery store, there was always a helicopter outside. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of this.
That's pretty weird.
Well, there's the airport right near me. So I'm assuming they were just landing.
Yeah, I forgot about that airport, the Arnold Palmer.
The Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, near the, what are we there? Is the Park and Eggs? Eggs and Park? Breakfast and Eggs? Park and Toast? Eaton Park.
Yes.
Park, yes. Got it. With all the pies.
Yes, they had all the pies.
And all the old people.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was right near there, right?
Yeah. Eaton Park, also known as God's Waiting Room.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like if Florida was a restaurant.
What's bad is we went there at like, what, like 9:30, 10?
Yeah.
Those people that were there, they were actually there for dinner that night.
Well, they had been up since like 3. They got up at 3. They started their coffee. The paper got delivered at 4. The $10,000 pyramid came on at 5. I mean, by the time they went to the Eaton Park, they were getting the early bird.
Yeah, they probably had lunch at like 6. And then after this, they were going to go home and just go to bed.
Yeah. I mean, the whole day for them. I mean, honestly, they might have headed home. By the time it was noon, they would have been getting cremated. You never know. Things happen quickly.
I mean, I guess that's possible.
I don't know.
I was going to say, speaking of cremation, but I really didn't have anywhere to go with that. Like, speaking of cremation, I don't know. I got nothing.
Speaking of cremation, I got a really cool death scene in Act Two.
Stallone, Bond can't die.
No, I don't really die. See, there's a clone of me that comes back.
Hey, I've seen the Diamonds of Forever. You can cremate Bond. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, you are right. And then he just gets out of there for no reason.
Yeah, and they don't even show how he did it.
Somebody else comes along and, like, gets him out of there.
No, but they don't show him getting out. They show him, like, struggling, and then the next shot is him in, like, getting out of the coffin in, like, the waiting room thing.
Yeah, because
like, they don't show how it happens.
Somebody else just pulls the coffin out.
I know, but they don't. They don't show it or anything. Like, to the point where when I first saw it, I thought it was like a dream sequence. I didn't realize that they actually intended that to be real in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no. Like, it's to the point where it, like. He wakes up. He's in the coffin.
Yeah.
The fire starts. And then he's like kicking and everything, trying to get out. And then right as basically he's about to get engulfed in flames, it cuts to the next part. Like he almost like he woke up from his dream.
No,
I thought
that they actually like all of a sudden like he was like the flames went away. And then the next thing was that like the coffin opened and they were like, where are the real diamonds?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll have to watch it again, but I feel like I haven't watched it that long ago that maybe I would have remembered that. But, you know, I'll withhold my comments, even though I already said them, until I rewatch.
Give it a rewatch.
Not that I even really want to take the time to rewatch that movie.
It's worth it. It's so bad.
Well, yeah, as long as you're heavily intoxicated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to get shit-faced for that.
Yeah.
Especially absolutely. The part where all of a sudden he runs onto the set where they're filming the moon landing. And you're like, yeah, what the fuck is going on?
Or when the girl gets tossed and killed in the pool in the hotel. And then she's in the pool of the house outside of Vegas.
She doesn't get killed when they toss her out of the window.
I thought she was already dead in that pool.
No, because she swims away.
Irregardless, they transport her to another pool and kill her.
No, they track her down later because she swims away at that point.
I thought she was already dead, but.
No, because they show her starting to swim away. And Bond goes, oh, it was lucky that the pool was there. Like, good thing that pool was there. And the guy's like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know.
And then she swims away. And then I think she was meeting whoever house that was. She was meeting them there later. And then she was there, and then they killed her.
I mean, it's so stupid.
Oh, no, it is stupid.
You know what? Not as dumb though as when the black girl at Circus Circus turns into a gorilla.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just weird. Like, I don't even know what they were going for with that.
Is that weird or is that just racist?
I mean, I guess it's a little bit of both. I mean, like, I'm not offended by anything, but it just I wouldn't have gone in that direction. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah.
It was a choice I probably would have strayed away from.
I don't think anybody would have gone in that direction.
I don't even know what possesses you to think of it. Especially to put it in your movie.
I mean, unless it was based on something actual.
Yeah, I don't. I'm all set.
I don't even know.
Not for me.
I don't think we pimped everything that we should, though. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think we got distracted by the Benny Hill Bond.
A little bit. Oh, yeah, you're right.
So if you like the last episode, there's also the movie poster that we made, or that I made, that was for Expendables 3, You've Been Mentioned. And that's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/butyourewrong.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep one night, so I just did it. And I was like, I'll just do it now.
It looks like a good late night, I don't know what else to do, kind of Photoshopping shit together, and it looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They look like they're really in love.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so.
The tagline is from You've Got Mail, except I slightly altered it to say Battlefield. And if you look at the little credits at the bottom, there's a couple little Easter eggs in there.
Oh, to be honest, I didn't even see that, so I'll check it out.
I'm just letting people know. Letting the people know.
Yeah, nope. I hear you.
My favorite part about the Benny Hill, though, is that there are moments in there, like the little looks that Roger Moore does. I'm just like, they fit so well in there. It's almost like I somehow made it up, but I didn't.
Yeah, like it fits with the music sometimes. It's great. It'll be like a loop, boop, like kind of sound, and yeah. it'll fit perfectly.
Yeah, and he's given some Roger Moore strange look, like, holy cow. And and Sheriff Pepper fits in very well into that, too.
Awesome.
Love that guy. Yeah, man, I guess that's really it for now. I got some other stuff that I'm working
on. Yeah, also, definitely make sure you check on the Jabba the Hutt sequence, if you haven't already, that Keith put together. It's a nice little combo of our ranting, mainly my ranting, but Keith kind of keeping me in line, talking about the whole beginning of Jedi, and he cut it really good with scenes from the actual movies. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely one of my favorite things that that we've ever done. Or you did it, but you know.
Well, I mean, I couldn't have done it without your rant.
I guess so, yeah. So.
What's funny is that I cut down the actual rant that you had.
You had to.
Because
I'm out of my fucking mind.
It was like, your rant about the opening of Jedi was about as long as the opening to Jedi.
That's the best part, is that I complain that it goes on for like 40 minutes, and then I proceed to complain about it for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So if watching the opening of Jedi didn't waste enough of your time, I'm going to make sure I do the same thing. Because I'm just as much of an asshole.
Yeah, but then I cut it down to like 5 to 6 minutes. So it's, you don't wait.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll let you know when we have more stuff going up and other stuff going on. But you can check all that stuff out on Facebook, which we mentioned, Twitter, BYW Podcast, the YouTube page, BYW Podcast. You can email us, bywpodcast@gmail.com, and that's how you can keep up with everything, right? Yeah. So I guess we'll just close out then. So this has been But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, no regrets, and you know what? If you got a face like Stallone, don't just walk up on women in showers, because you'll probably scare them.
It'd be like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. You're perfect. I'm